The Apostle John takes an opportunity to explain to us in three little words what God is all about. Who He is, what He's made up of, what He allows us to go forward in connecting with, and it is this idea of God is love. We want to look this morning at how that in fact works out in our lives. We're going to be using Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 through 2. If you have your Bibles and want to turn, it's a great passage that gives love in all of its forms in one particular area. We're going to look at how love in fact is an adjective, how love is a noun, and in fact how love is a verb. And I'm so glad my English teacher, Miss Barbara Smith, is not here this morning. So she may not, I'm going to try to get all of those tenses and places of speech correctly. But I'm glad that Paul did it before us. He says, be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly, what? Loved children. Now, I think that's an adjective. Anybody? We got any English people with us? Is it close, Dr. Yen? Please tell me. Yes, all right. Yes, that's the affirmation. Yes, Christ, yes. So, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love. I'm hoping that might be a noun. I know it's connected to a preposition, but is it a noun? Yes? Okay, great. All right, super. We're two for two. Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us. And I hope that's the verb. Is that right? As Christ loved us and gave Himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Love functions as an adjective. We are loved children. Loved appears as a noun. We are to live a life of love. Love serves as a verb, just as Christ loved us. So we're going to consider those three things. We want to think in terms to imitate God, or to be a part of this connection with God. We need to accept that we are loved by God. Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children. Our General Secretary of the American Baptist Churches, anybody happen to remember his name? We don't get to hear from him very often. He actually came and spoke from this pulpit a few years ago as he was in town. Anybody remember his name? I don't even know Corrine does. He's sort of the Pope of the American Baptist Churches. And so, you know, it's nice to stick the name somewhere in your head. And although we don't have such a thing, Dr. Roy Medley is his name. And we are thankful that he is our General Secretary of our whole entire denomination. He was preaching at a sermon time for a couple of baptisms that were significant for him. In fact, it was his own son and daughter-in-law. So in that particular setting, Dr. Roy Medley started with these words. In most of our lives, there comes defining moments, events that both define and declare who we are. For Abraham and Sarah, it was the decision to trust God and go on this crazy journey to which they were called, to a land they did not know based solely on a promise. For Moses, it was seeing the suffering of his people, standing in solidarity with them and becoming their leader in order to set them free because of a voice in a bush. For Queen Esther, it was knowing that only she could prevent a Holocaust of her people by doing that which was forbidden. Approaching the king without invitation in order that her people might be saved solely because of a hope. As Medley's son and daughter-in-law were coming to their baptism, he talked about how baptism was also a defining moment for Jesus. As Jesus was emerging out of the waters, the Father in heaven spoke, "This is my Son, whom I love. Through all that Jesus will endure in those next 3 years ahead of him, the temptations, the rejection, the ridicule, the burden, the expectations, the denials, and ultimately the cross, the one thing that will always keep him going is that he is loved by the Father. He knows that he is the beloved of God. When you don't know who you are, you act like who you ain't, was a quote that Dr. Medley used that particular morning. When you don't know who you are, then you act like who you ain't. So our first opportunity of understanding the acceptance that God offers to all of us is to know that we are the beloved of God. There is no one here that is outside God's love. We share this in common. So, how about the opportunity as a noun? It is our privilege to understand that we need to embrace this life of love. The life of love is this life that shows whose we are in every step we take. Paul writes, literally, he means we ought to walk in love. It's the place where I have seen many of you walking for these, I'm now in the fifth year being here at Philippi Baptist. It's where I've joined you as you've already been walking in this life of love, as we've been reaching out in the community that God has placed us in, as we've been connecting to those individuals that are our neighbors and our family, and to see them growing in their faith, and that we are walking in love together. It's not just about what's on the outside. It's not about just a simple directive where we are going through motions, but we understand that we are the object of God's love. And then he reminds us of that, that we are to be imitators of that, that we go out and we share that same love with all those that he places within our path. As many of you find in your experiences, we've learned how to love by seeing someone else do it before us. We've either seen somebody do it positively or we've seen it negatively. We know the absence of love. And we are the sum total of our experiences on both sides of those situations. It is a privilege to be one of those individuals that's been an object of love. That I've seen mom and dad over and over again move heaven and earth to do whatever we needed to do to get from one place to another, to be a part of whatever activity I happened to be doing at that time. I never gave thought to their own schedules or their own plans, and there was actually a world outside that did not revolve around John Villers because they never let me think that. There's one thing, and I don't know that they ever said it to me, but it was instilled in me, John, you can do anything you want to do. The possibilities are endless. And I hope I didn't disappoint him too much by not becoming the doctor that my grandmother really wanted me to be. My dad's mom, she really thought I'd make a good doctor. I can't remember that much Latin. I don't know. I mean, that's a whole different field there. But in our lives, if you've had those experiences, you've been blessed. But if you've not had those experiences, you have the opportunity to now share that in someone else's life in the very same way. To look at the opportunities that Jesus has done for us and to say, in fact, we do not want to miss this journey that he's placed us on. We don't want to get to the end of the road one day and look back and say, oh man, I missed it. I missed those opportunities where I could be a part of God's work and God's plan. And that he has called us to this walk of life with him. That he's called us, in fact, to embrace the life of love that he's called us on. And then we also need to understand and have in our understanding there out of Ephesians chapter 5, we need to believe Christ demonstrated his love for us. That clearly it is a place where we understand that love is a verb. It does require action, and that he has shown action to us first and foremost beyond anything else. Christ loved us so much that he took both the joy and the burden of all the world in one fell swoop. Joy is based on the realization that someone loved us enough to die for us, and by dying for us, has suffered us a road that we do not have to walk down ourselves. He's offered us a different path to eternal salvation. It's to remember the act of love and to remember it, and it should cause each of us to understand and be filled with joy. But also with that joy comes the burden. This burden of responsibility to make a difference. It's one that drives us forward. Many times we end up beating ourselves up and we say, am I doing enough? When we look at what Christ did for us and we imitate and are to be imitators for him. But it is our privilege to know that he calls us to be his children, to be a part of his work, to be demonstrators of his love in the world that he's placed us in. Dr. and Mrs. Yunt have many grandchildren that they are very proud to be a part of in their life. One of them happens to be in residence up in New York. Sarah is with us today. Sarah is in international development and theology at Houghton College. And she has this connection to the Lord that says, I want to go and I want to be on the mission field for him. I want to do that. I want to be a part of his kingdom. And it's a glorious thing to see how we respond to God's call in our lives. Each of us have different callings. But it all starts with a foundation of an understanding that we are loved by him. He has called us to be a part of his kingdom, wherever it is, however far away it might be, or however near he may place us. Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. Where do we learn about this love? How do we teach our children about this love? When can I practice this love? Those are questions that come to us because the world does not respect God's love as a way of life. There are many other voices out there that would speak into our world and say, what you're doing has no lasting benefit. You don't get ahead by loving. We continue to need some place where we can celebrate this love, where we can become re-energized in this love and unite with others who believe in the way of love like we do. And the church is the setting where love is taught, experienced, and practiced. If you look on the very front of your bulletin, we have three little words that we try to emphasize in bold, and I even had Lucretia capitalize them a couple weeks ago. I'm sure all of you noticed that they're capitalized now and not in proper sentence structure. Anybody know those three little words on the front of the bulletin? Embrace, model, and share. It should be the very heartbeat of who we are as a body of Christ. Paul talks about Christ as a fragrant offering and sacrifice. And so that's in fact what we get to do today. When the church gathers together, we find out how to imitate God's love. That's why all the angels in heaven rejoice when we gather in His name. We have seen a celebration today. We have seen that act of love lived out in the life of those here in this water. Did we create too much of a tidal wave, Michael? Did we get too much water out? I think we did all right. I think Sam had the biggest wave. What do you think? Maybe not. What is it? A cannonball. That's right. Yeah. Pete really wanted to do a cannonball, but we told him we better not do it. No. We've seen this love demonstrated today, and it's our privilege to go forward in His name. We did want to make an introduction this morning. I'm sorry I failed to do this during our time of praise, but it is a beautiful thing to have Emily Casto with us today. As you already mentioned, I think Hayden already said it earlier, Emily is coming tonight to candidate for our new praise and worship leader position. We're so thankful that Caleb has been at the helm for just a few years, but it's time for him to move on. So we're kicking him out, and he's going elsewhere. We're not sure where, except Camp Cowan for the summer, and then wherever he might lead from there. But Emily's brought her dad with her today, Brother Larry Jones from Main Street Baptist Church over in Point Pleasant. And we would invite you all to come this evening at 5:30. Miss Emily's going to lead our time of praise and worship at 5:30 before we break up into our small groups. And we pray that we can demonstrate the love of Christ with Emily even today. We invite you all to come to the medallion with us right afterwards if you want. You're welcome to do that. And then we have a time to interview her, and then we look forward to sharing the evening with her as well. May we always be love dispensers. It's our great privilege. You know, and we can say it's a duty, we can say it's a command, but the truth of the matter is our hearts are filled with love that we get to share with others. A lot of that we learn from those that have helped us in our lives so far. And again, that great privilege for Mom and Dad to be here. Dad still preaches every Sunday morning and Sunday night. I'm not sure what they're doing in Hanley Baptist today without him, but they're making do, and we are privileged to have him here. We're going to have him have our closing word of prayer even at this time before we do our last congregational song.